Hello, everybody. This week's parasha is parasha B'chukosai, and the parasha begins with the pasuk in B'chukosai Telechu. If you follow my laws, Ves Mitzvosai Teshmeru, and you faithfully observe my mitzvahs, Va'asisam Aisam, and you make sure to do them. Now, the question is, if it already describes doing mitzvahs and keeping mitzvahs, so what does it mean in B'chukosai Telechu? If you follow my laws. So Rashi famously comments, Rashi explains, what it means is, besides for keeping the mitzvahs, a person has an obligation to be amal b'teira, to toil, to try to understand and learn Hashem's Torah, to understand Hashem's laws, not just to keep them, but to also learn them and understand them. But the question is, if that's what it's referring to, why does it use an expression of to be leich, to go, in b'chukosai teilechu? So there's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh famously says that in order to properly learn Torah, sometimes you got to go. You can't just stay at home and learn Torah on your couch. You got to go to shul, focus, learn Torah there. You can't just stay where you are to learn Torah. But I saw a beautiful pshat from the Altar of Kelm. He says like this. He says, imagine you have a bunch of people sitting by a table and they're eating, they're drinking, they're having a great time. Everyone looks like the same. Then the meal's over and they get up to leave and they start going. And one person stays by a table. The meal's over, everyone's gone, he's still there. And you try to figure out why is he still there? And you look under the table and you see that, God forbid, he's a cripple. He's a cripple, he can't walk properly. Says the Altar of Kelm, a lot of times in life, people are in shul, they're in yeshiva, they're learning, they're davening, everyone's into it, everyone says Baruch Hashem, Emir Tzah Hashem, they all talk the talk. But then you go out into real life, you're out there and there's temptations, there's struggles, there's stress, things heat up. And some people, they walk the walk, and some people can't. They don't walk the walk. They just talk about being Jewish. When it comes to actually being leich, to going and keeping the mitzvahs in practice, they have a much harder time. The way a person can manage to be in b'chukosai teilechu, how could you take that Torah that you know and use it to actually implement it, to walk the walk? That tells Rashi. Rashi tells us that comes through being amal b'Torah, through working hard to understand the Torah, through pushing yourself to learn Torah. Because when a person pushes himself to learn Torah, and a person stays up later, a person wakes up early, and he pushes himself to learn Torah, what happens is the Torah becomes a part of him. It changes him. It elevates him. And it becomes part of who he is. If a person sits on the couch with his feet up and listens to some interesting class about abortion and halacha, he doesn't change. So then the second temptation comes, he's the same blob who he was before. If a person wants to be in b'chukosai teilechu, to be able to walk in the Torah, he has to put in the effort to be amal b'Torah, to truly understand the Torah and work to learn the Torah, because then the Torah will change him and make him a better person. The parasha continues and tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Jewish people a promise that if they do Hashem's will and they do keep his mitzvahs, they'll have blessings. V'achaltem yashanayshon, you'll eat old grain and new grain, you'll have tons of food. And finally it says, V'nasati mishkani b'saycham, I will place my mishkan amongst you, v'loy sigal nafshi eschem, and I will not be disgusted in you. And the Ramban asks the obvious question. He says, you know, we're talking about Jews who are doing the mitzvahs. Talking about Jews who are learning and davening and doing chesed, and you need to tell me that Hashem is going to not be disgusted by us? Isn't the Torah saying something so obvious? What's going on in this pasuk? And the Ramban explains, the Altar of Kelm explains the Ramban, that what's going on here is as follows. You know, sometimes you go into certain places, it's like a public bathroom, or, you know, in my house, Baruch Hashem, we have a bunch of little kids, three little boys and a little girl. And whenever guests come over, we're always a little nervous that, you know, we always have to check the bathroom to make sure it smells okay, there's not too much going on over there, do a quick cleanup, spray some Lysol. Because what happens is sometimes you can walk into a place and you can be disgusted by it. The neshama, when it gets put into the physical body, say the Mefarshim, it's disgusted. The neshama is pure, it's spiritual, it's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very holy, lofty thing. You put it in a human body, which is physical, it comes from the mud, it gets disgusted to the point where Derech Hashem writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to basically make a miracle to keep the two things together, to keep a neshama attached to a body. And when a person dies, the neshama supposed to be gets freed. It gets free from being inside the body, which it doesn't like. However, the Medrash does tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, his neshama didn't want to leave. His neshama wasn't disgusted by his body. His body became so holy and so pure that the neshama loved being there. And that's the power of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, we say, asher kiddishanu b'mitzvahs, if a person becomes holy through the mitzvahs, mitzvahs elevate a person's, not just his soul, they elevate his body as well. And they make it that the neshama isn't disgusted by the body, but rather it wants to be there. Hashem is promising us that if the Jews do the mitzvahs, v'nasati mishkani b'seichem, I'll put my mishkan, me, the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be able to live down here amongst us in this world, v'loisigal nafshi eschem, and my neshama, that piece of me of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's being put inside a person, it won't be disgusted by you. It will enjoy being inside the body because the bodies will become so holy and so Kaddish. In the middle of a Teichacha, in Perek Chavav Pasuk Chafei, it says that the Jewish people will be punished, that there will be plagues, and they'll have to bury their dead. And it says, V'nasatem biyad oyiv, and I'll give you over into the hands of the enemy, Chas v'Shalom. Rashi explains what's going on here is that Lefi she'ein malinim es hameis b'Yerushalayim. There's a halacha, you're not allowed to leave a dead body overnight in Yerushalayim, the city's too holy. And it says, Rashi, u'kishehei maitziim es hameis lekavre, when they'll go out of the city to try to bury the dead body, then there would be nitanim biyad ayiv, the enemy would capture them when they left the walls of the city. And it's always bothered me a lot, this Rashi. Seemingly, you know, we understand if God forbid HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish the Jewish people for doing averus, but it seems like here they're doing a mitzvah. It seems like here they're going and they're fulfilling the halacha, they're not allowed to keep a dead body overnight in Yerushalayim. And why does Hashem make it that specifically when they're doing a mitzvah, that's when they get caught by the enemy and that's when they get punished? It seems very strange. And I found the Aznayim Latayer from Zalman Suratsky. He says a very, very beautiful pshat. He says that if you look in the Psukim in Yirmiyah, which describe the prophecy that Yirmiyah was giving to the Jews to do tshuva before the destruction of a temple, Yirmiyah describes that the Jewish people refused to listen to his rebuke, refused to listen to his mussar, because they were so convinced. They were so convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never destroy his temple. They said, we have the Beis HaMikdash over here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never destroy it. And they kind of used that as an insurance policy, that they can keep doing whatever sins and whatever abominations they want, because they have the temple, and Hashem would never destroy his temple, and that's going to keep them safe. To the point where they became very, very obsessed and very, very frum with one particular mitzvah. The mitzvah of making sure that the Beis HaMikdash and everything around it would not become tamei. They made sure that whatever halachas were relevant to keeping the Beis HaMikdash pure, that they kept, because they understood that the more pure you keep the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim in general, the more, so to speak, we're guaranteed that Hashem's Shechina will be here, and then we're guaranteed our insurance policy that we could be safe and keep doing whatever other sins we want, because we'll have the Beis HaMikdash to protect us. And that, said Yirmiyahu HaNavi, was a perversion. Klal Yisrael didn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that what he really requires to have his Beis HaMikdash amongst them is that they do mitzvahs and don't do averus. The second Klal Yisrael is doing averus, the Shechina doesn't want to be there. The Shechina leaves, and the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. So he explains that this, that they were so careful to not leave a dead body over in Yerushalayim overnight, it wasn't coming from a good place. It wasn't coming from a desire to do what's right and do mitzvahs. It was coming from a desire to keep doing what's wrong and try to keep the Beis HaMikdash there for themselves as a protection. And therefore, they weren't given any protection from the enemy when they were doing this mitzvah of burying the dead outside, because they were doing it for all the wrong reasons. They were doing it to enable themselves to keep being evil. I want to end up with one story I saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gavaya. He says that there was once the Rav of Kiev, Rav Aronson was his name, and he needed to raise money for a particular cause, a particular need in the community. So he reached out to two famous brothers known as the Brodsky brothers, who were very, very wealthy. He made an appointment to meet with them and to ask them to see if they could help out for this need. Sure enough, these brothers were very, very big by tzedakah. They're good people. They gave an appointment. He met them, and they gave him a very, very nice sum of money for the cause he was collecting for. Sure enough, couple days later, they get a message that the Rav wants to meet them again for another cause, for another need. So they say, okay, sure. And so Rav Aronson comes in and they ask him, they say, Rav, you know, it hasn't been a long time. You know, we just met. Did you know that you were going to need this money? Why didn't you just ask us then? Why'd you wait? And if you didn't know, like, I mean, you find somebody else, you know, we just gave a very, very large sum of money. So I want to ask you a question. It says in the end of the sixth parasha, the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of giving miser. of a person's cattle. And we all know that Meiser is a tenth. So simply, Torah should just say, every person should give a tenth of every new animal that was born that year, the new flock, give a tenth to Stucca. You have 10 sheep born that year, you give one. You have 100, you give 10. Relatively simple. But yet, the Torah makes it very complicated. The Torah tells us in Perek of Zion, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Echol Meiser Bakar V'tzayin, any Meiser you're giving of your cattle or your sheep, Kol Asher Yavar Tachas HaShavet, anyone that passes under the stick, Ha'asiri, the 10th one, Yiyah Kadesh Hashem, will be Kadesh for Hashem. And the halacha, as explained in the Mefarshim and the Gemara, is that the way you would do it is you put all the new sheep that were born that year into a pen, and you let them out one at a time, and the 10th one you'd mark with the red paint or something, just to know that this one has to go for Meiser. Why does that have to be so complex? Just count, you know how much you have, and give a 10th. So he says, I think the pshat is as follows. You come to a guy, you tell him, look, you have your flock here, you need to give 100 sheep to tzedakah. It hurts. 100 sheep's a lot of money. 100 new cows, it's a lot of money to give tzedakah all at once. So the Torah tells you, here's a way that you can make this easier for yourself. Let me give you a different way to look at it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to go, you're going to put them in your corral, and you're going to see one sheep come out. That one's for you. Another sheep comes out. That one's for you as well. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You get 9 sheep. You can't give one away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's do this again. Next 9 sheep come out. These 9 go to you. This one goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person looks at it that way, it becomes much easier because he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him so much and he's asking him to just give 1/10 of that to tzedakah. Then a person properly understands what's going on. He gets so much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a little bit goes to other people. A little bit goes to tzedakah. Says Rav Aaron, said, if I came to you at once and asked you for a whopper sum, it'd be very hard to give it. So I came to you a few days ago, and you gave me some money. Then a few days went by, you made some money, you had a good business, profits went well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you more. So now, of that bit more that he gave you over the next few days, I'm asking you to give some of that to tzedakah, to other people. And that's how a person is supposed to view life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him so much, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just telling him to give a portion, a small portion of what he's getting for the sake of others, if that's tzedakah, and towards good causes. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.